Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Produce Buzzers Podcast. We are so happy you have joined us today, and I think you will be too after the show is over, because you will learn a lot about fresh fruits and vegetables, how to select and store them, how to prepare and cook them, and surprising facts about their history and origin. We hope it inspires you to eat more fresh fruits and vegetables, not only for your health, but also for your delight and pleasure as you explore their amazing world of taste and delicious flavors. Eating more of them will transform your life in so many positive ways. So settle back, relax, and get ready for another delicious adventure with the Produce Buzzers. Greetings, Produce Buzzers podcast fans, and welcome to another episode of the podcast for lovers of fresh fruits and veggies. I'm your host, Edwin Stepp, executive editor of producebuzz.com. I am joined once again by Teresa Nolan, the president and founder of Produce Buzz, along with Rick Stepp and Cynthia Benedetto, both contributing editors to Produce Buzz. This week's episode is another one that we recorded at the Southeast Produce Council's annual trade show in Orlando, Florida. Since we are in a convention hall, there is a little more background noise than usual, so apologies for that, and we hope you won't find it too distracting. But be assured, you will be able to hear all of the Produce Buzzers and our special guests without any difficulty. Today we are joined by a man who has been marketing the very best berries in the world. Have you ever eaten Driscoll's strawberries? Then you know why we say they are the best. Driscoll's pioneered the development of new varieties of strawberries that are the sweetest you will find in the produce department. For decades, they have led the way in quality and consistency, not only with strawberries, but now with raspberries, blackberries, and blueberries. It is a company with a strong commitment to the farmers who grow those berries all around the world for them. You will want to stick around and hear our guest's inspiring story. You will learn a lot about berries, how they are bred to develop the best flavor. All completely natural, by the way. No GMOs or gene splicing for this company. Our guest today is Steve Treaty, Director of Category and Customer Development at Driscoll's Berries. He has worked for the company for 15 years and tells the Produce Buzzers about the company's commitment to excellent and exemplary values. He and Teresa have been friends for a long time, so I'm going to let her introduce him today.
Today, Produce Buzzers, we are so honored to have my dear friend and one of the three amigos, Steve Treaty from Driscoll's Strawberries, visiting with us to tell us all about the best berries in the world from Driscoll's. Steve, thank you so much for agreeing to be on our podcast today. We love seeing you and we love talking with you. And tell us a little bit about your background in produce and how you came to work for Driscoll's.
Well, I would say produce is in my family, but actually it's grocery. My father was a grocer in both chain and independent. And even though he gave me money to go to college so that I didn't stay in that line of work, I fell in love with it. And my first introduction into produce was really the fact when people would call off, they needed somebody, and he'd go home and pick me up, and then I'd have to do the trimming. Or I started so young that I was actually bagging potatoes in the back room and trimming lettuce and doing a lot of things. Well, back then there wasn't a lot of prepackaged produce.
How old were you?
At that time I was probably 6 or 7.
Yeah.
I actually started earlier than that, but
right.
because my dad worked Sundays. They were closed on Sundays, but he worked on Sundays, and my mom would make him take me to the store just so that I could get out of her hair. So he'd load me up a flat cart with butter and margarine because it sat right in front of his office, and my job was to rotate the entire butter and margarine case.
Oh, wow.
And so he could look over me, and then when he was done doing the books, he'd we'd finish up and go
was
home.
That fun for you
rotating
as a kid, or were
butter.
You like I'm slave labor, child labor?
I was gonna say rotating butter, words that have not been spoken in 30 years.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I know. I guess I haven't even thought about it. I don't
pay any
attention.
They still have to do it.
Yeah, well, you have to rotate. But, you know,
they're
now,
supposed to do it.
Now, displays are way different than they used to be. So now they're the displays are optimized, so it's almost self-rotating. They sell right down to the last very bit and then replenish. And that's, you know, so that's back then. The cases that I work with, my arms weren't long enough to reach to the back. So, but that's how, you know, I got started in grocery, and I guess it gets emblazoned in your brain. And ultimately, when I got to the university, I ran out of money. It's first time away from home. My schooling was paid for, my housing was paid for, but all of my additional income went to having fun.
That's the purpose of college.
Yeah. And so I took a job at the grocery store. You know, I showed up at the grocery store and I ran the night stock crew so that I could go to school during the day. And then the produce manager quit, and I was the only one that had any experience in produce. I became the produce manager.
Oh, that's
cool. And
in what city was that?
That was in Ames, Iowa. I went to Iowa State University. And no, this was an independent. It was called Randall Super Value. There's a couple stories that I want to share, because one of them is my future mother-in-law. I started dating a young lady that was just finishing high school, and I was in my second year of college. I got invited to dinner, and I show up for dinner, and it was cleaned up, but back then, you smelled like produce when you couldn't get it off of you. And so I can remember
especially her. Rotten onions.
Yeah. Or rotten potatoes or even, you know, trimming lettuce and onions and things like green onions. And I can remember sitting at the dinner table and my future mother-in-law saying to me, "Is he always going to smell like celery?" Anyway, so I took a short stint after I got out of school, and I actually got recruited by a packaged meat company selling deli supplies.
Yeah.
Delis were just, taking off at that time, and so it was really fun, and it was exciting because we built the category. And there was no category except for at that time, and you know, everything was hand sliced in the butcher department.
Right.
And then they started creating these self-service delis and those kind of things. So I did that for a few years, and it's really interesting because a guy basically recruited me from that back into the produce business.
Okay.
And so
you got pulled back.
Yeah.
And so you tried to get away.
Yeah, and then I met, you know, I did produce. I did some bulk produce sales. I was in the citrus business. There's a fella that probably wouldn't even be in this business today without a man called Joe Stubbs.
Joe Stubbs
was worked for Sunkist at the time, and I had a little thing going where I was kind of brokering citrus and selling to fundraisers. And
my goodness, I do the same business.
Really?
Yes. Yeah. And I know Joe.
Yeah.
He developed some sales materials for us.
Oh, no kidding.
Way back in the 80s.
Yeah, well, I lived in Illinois, and I was associated with the Farm Bureau. I had a fascination with growing and marketing, and Joe, one year I bought a bunch of citrus fruit to sell the school bands and the FFA chapters for their fundraisers, and Joe got in the car, drove down to see me, and said, "What in the heck are you doing with all this citrus?" Because I've taken 80 loads of citrus the week between Thanksgiving and the first of December, and you know, it was kind of stood out. So
yeah,
Joe said to me, "Man, you're wasting your time here. You need to get in the big time. I will help you." And he helped me. And I think that's, you know, that's another thing that excites me about this business, is because it's very close knit. And people recognize hard work and aptitude and those kind of things. And so Joe called up at that time the strawberry board, which Teresa was with, and called up and said, "Hey, you need to hire this kid." And so he calls me back. He goes, "You're in." don't I have to interview?
Those were the days.
Yeah.
Is this the beginning? Teresa alluded to some kind of group called the
Three Amigos? Is this the beginning of the Three Amigos? Tell our listeners.
So myself and Chuck Sweeney, we actually started the same day. They needed two merchandisers, and we both interviewed the same day we were hired, and Teresa's job was to train us because we were retail geeks, and so at that time was the Chevy Chase movie about the Three Amigos.
Right.
So that's how we developed that, and from there, I met the leadership at Driscoll's, the owner and his brother, and could go into PMA and those kind of things, I don't recall all the conversation, but I told the boss, one day I'm going to work for you, because Driscoll's just had the reputation even back then,
yeah.
and they did things right, that's what I wanted to be associated with.
Right.
I got recruited a couple different times. I was at that age where everything looks bright and shiny and the grass is always greener on the other side. And you know the right people, and you get people that help you. And ultimately, I ended up with a company that grows snacking tomatoes, I guess is the term they're using now, in Mexico. And we basically introduced a couple really high flavor, very sweet snacking tomatoes.
Some little cherry tomatoes?
Well, we had cherry tomatoes in a bag.
Yeah.
And they were on the stem, but because of refrigeration and the trucks that deliver them to the stores, by the time the fruit would get to the stores, there was cherries in a stick. I enjoyed that business a lot. They were really great people, and they're still in existence, and they're leaders. But I had a big promotion going on in Cincinnati, and the leadership at Driscoll's was there visiting a retailer for a top-to-top, and they went in the stores, and I had product everywhere. I was running a big promotion, citywide promotion, and
they said, we want to know who's responsible for this.
Well, that's exactly. So a fellow named Michael Hollister, who is one of my mentors, said, hey, isn't that where Treaty went to work? And so he said, call him up. He got on the phone and he said, is this your work? And I said, yeah. And he said, I want you to come to Driscoll's and do this for us.
And you had already predicted that, prophesied.
Well, I had prophesied. I said, if I ever work for a berry company, and coming out of the Strawberry Commission, you were pretty highly visible to different strawberry shippers.
Right.
And following in the footsteps of Teresa and some of the others, where we had really high visibility. There were other shippers that actually had offered me jobs, but I didn't think that, I mean, they were nice. They're all nice people. It's an incredible industry and an incredible group of people, but it's like.
So you were wiser than you said earlier. The grass wasn't always greener. You were wise enough to see that.
You could say the strawberries were redder on the other side.
Yeah, there you could.
They were redder than the tomatoes, is what you're saying.
Yeah. So my job at Driscoll's is, back then we called it category management. It was really about mapping out the category for retailers and helping them sell more product. Mm-hmm. And so we developed some really strong partnerships with a handful of customers at the time, because we didn't have enough fruit for everybody to be successful at once.
Right.
And I would like to take a little bit of credit, or Driscoll should take a lot of credit for driving the category to number one in produce.
Yeah.
It's it was really the quality of the product, but really more importantly, understanding the category and understanding where the opportunities were, and that you didn't have to give the product away in order to make an impact with the consumer.
Right.
So, and here we are today. That's, I'm still doing that, but we're about 10 times bigger than we were when I started there. So.
A lot of thanks to you.
Yeah.
I would like to hear from you and for our listeners about Driscoll's varieties that they have pioneered through the years and how they have really changed that whole, the world of strawberries and berries in general.
Well, I think it all starts actually with a wild strawberry that one of the family, the founders, discovered on a camping trip in Northern California, and she picked it and ate it and said, "This is the best strawberry I ever ate in my life." But she brought it home and they duplicated it.
Okay.
And the interesting thing about a strawberry, if you know, there's 200 to 300 seeds on an individual strawberry, each one of those has different DNA makeup. The breeder started disassembling a strawberry and planting all those seeds and then testing what they tasted like. And you get a wide variety. And I mean, it's for anyone that's familiar with genetics, they understand that. But a lot of people don't know how arduous a task it is to develop a variety. And so the families realized early on that that could be the key that differentiates them towards success.
Yeah.
It's a strawberry is not a strawberry. A blueberry is not a blueberry, you know?
Yeah.
It's so they started selecting, advanced selection, more for flavor, but also for, you know, lack of disease and those kind of things, or climatization.
Yeah.
Some things grow better on the side of a mountain or in a valley and those kind of things. And then there was a fascination in the family around raspberries, and it became a hobby, and then all of a sudden it became a business.
Yeah.
And they do the same thing. So we propagate all of our own varieties. We develop all of our own varieties.
And they're proprietary.
And they're proprietary and licensed. Yeah. And we do some really cool stuff. It's almost like space program. We actually map the genetics and the DNA. It's all natural, you know, it's all natural. Yeah. It's not, there's no...
Don't talk about GMOs or anything.
Yeah, there's no GMOs at all. That's a family's pledge. It won't happen. We have the ability now on several of, well, on three, or if not four categories, to basically up our game almost every year. But the plants, we lease the plants to growers.
Okay.
We still own them.
Right.
And part of their grower contract is that they have to market it back through us, and we take a commission for that.
Right.
But they still get 85 cents of the dollar back that we sell it for. So most of our growers are independent, which they're selected for, you know, they basically, it's kind of like trying out for a team. We work with those growers. Just like I work with the retailers, we have a group that works with the growers to help them optimize their operation. So
that's fantastic too, because you're supporting smaller farmers. Probably a lot of these are family farms, I imagine. You know, maybe some are big, but you know, that's, it's great that it's not like big agriculture. You know, these are supporting. Your company is supporting a lot of people.
Well, and I think sometimes people take a look at Driscoll's, and it is a pretty popular brand and things, and they think that it's big ag, and it really isn't.
Yeah.
You know, we have nearly 1,000 independent growers around the world, and they're supporting small communities and large communities, and the workers that work in the fields and those kind of things. And that is one of the things that when I first came here, I was most surprised by. I traveled with our company president to Mexico, and we're driving down the road, and he says to the driver, "Hey, pull over here and call the grower. I'd like to see him out in the field." And he brought his growing team out, and he knew every one of those people that worked there.
Wow.
It's just incredible, you know, and everybody came up and hugged him, and I mean, they really care about the people that are in the company.
Yeah.
And we have an incentive for growers so that they focus on, instead of yield, they focus on flavor.
You know, that's interesting, because this year I've seen the raspberry and blackberry at bigger display sizes, but also being pushed on sale. It's shocking to me how sweet the raspberries are. They're a little more inconsistent than the blackberries. I haven't ever known the ras and the blackberry to be as consistent and sweet.
That was one of the questions I had for you. The Driscoll's blackberries are consistently sweet. Unbelievable, off the charts. You know, I grew up picking wild blackberries. You got to get those down. But you guys have really done something special with the blackberries.
Well, we have a breeder that's in charge of every berry, and a whole breeding team. And
right.
And I was fortunate enough to become friends with the blackberry breeder, and he's probably developed 700-800 varieties. And they have to go through a taste test, and they have to go. Obviously, it has to meet, like I said before, it meets a tolerance for disease, drought, all of those different things. But our number one focus is flavor, and if it's not flavorful,
throw it away. In my mind, you have changed the flavor of the black for the better. But it's a different berry to me than what I grew up eating. Not just the wild ones, but what we were getting in the store.
So blackberries are typically naturally would have thorns, a lot of thorns. And so it's a mutation that develops a blackberry without thorns. And the ranch manager and his son were out walking the fields one Saturday, and they go, "This plant has no thorns." And it was a fluke of nature. And then they tasted it, and they said, "Oh my gosh." Yeah. And so they started with that, and now they've crossed that with other traits.
Yeah.
And
are the blackberries like the strawberries and blueberries? Every seed produces something different, or can
I don't know that. Typically, I think that they're more. I don't know if the term's monoclonal or whatever it is, but it's.
You can use that. None of us know.
Just watch. I'll have somebody on there write in.
That guy doesn't know what he's talking
about. But it's the same process. It's the same process. Maybe an extra two steps for strawberries or three.
Yeah, right.
But that's their job. I mean, there's a whole team that's what they guys running around in white coats and tasting. How'd you like to have that job? I love berries.
That's a good
job. I don't even think they bring their lunch. They just eat berries all day. And so, the blackberries are something you'll see. They're bigger. The drupelets are larger. Yeah. And this guy... he just had a breakthrough, and some of it's actually too sweet. Some people...
No such thing.
Not on my taste. Yeah. I like tart too, but those blackberries,
They're unbelievable this year.
Now, you said you had a short story.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about our blackberries, because when I first started, there was a FMI show that had an organic show combined with it, and so... they called me up and said, "Would you mind going there and running our booth?" We got all these organic blackberries to build a display with, and I built them. But we had maybe 10 cases left, and we have to destroy them or throw them away when we're done, give them to people.
Yeah.
And my wife and I were watching two of our grandchildren, so the parents were going to be out of town, and so I took them home with me. And I brought them home, and they said, "Well, Grandpa, what are these?" And I said, "Well, they're blackberries. You should try them." And they go, no, not on my, never. And I go, "Well, I'll tell you what." And I had two full cases of them. So that's 24 clamshells. Mm-hmm. I said, "I will give you $1 for every one of those you eat."
Clamshells or just blackberries?
Just the blackberry.
That's one blackberry.
They clean both out.
And did you have to mortgage your house?
Practically, yeah. Yeah, but it was really funny because they had never really even been exposed to fruit, as a child.
That's interesting.
And they were like, "God, when can we get more?" And well, they didn't say God, but,
In fact, I didn't even know what $1 was.
Yeah. But I warned them, look, you're not going to get $1 for what you get from here. So I don't know. I think I paid them each $10, but it was so exciting to watch them because they sat down. My wife made this wonderful chocolate cake, and they were like, "We want the fruit." I think it's a great story, in relation for kids, moms and kids and stuff like that. And the flavor was outstanding. And so that's 14, 15 years ago.
Yeah.
And we are quadrupled what we did back then
That was my point, though. Yeah. I just can't believe how much they have improved in just the last few years that I've noticed. Yeah.
And there's the story. Don't bribe your kids with Driscoll's or you'll go broke.
But I love the fact that they wanted those over the chocolate cake.
Yeah.
That is great.
Now it's changed their eating habits dramatically.
That's fantastic.
They will, when they shop, They will pick up fruit.
Right.
They won't pick up anybody else's berries but ours. But
and your competitor with them was chocolate cake, and they and you won.
Yeah, exactly. Kids are really, you know, a good sounding board. But I have people, when I'll stand in the store and I'll wear my Driscoll's shirt, and I've had people come up to me and they go, "I hate you." And I go,
I know where this is going.
Yeah. Why? She said, "I'm going to pick up 3 clamshells of raspberries. I got 3 kids. And by the time we get home, there'll probably be a single clamshell left. They'll give them in the car and they'll be gone."
Right.
And she goes, "No, I really don't hate you. This is the greatest thing."
Yeah.
But that's how much kids go after this stuff. Right. So
yeah, all my daughters did too. I had to pace them, or else it would break my bank. Not that Driscoll's are too expensive, but you know, they could go through quite a few dollars worth of raspberries if I didn't pace them out.
Exactly. So.
What are your pink berries called?
We have a rosé berry that we started marketing. Absolutely. Looks like a pink berry. We marketed it as rosé when rosé started its climb, rosé wine, and we're very successful with it. Now we're introducing a berry called Tropical that we're going to just test actually in the next couple months.
Right. And what's that profile like?
That profile's a lot like a tropical plant. You'll have a hint of pineapple. You may have a hint of different kinds of tropical fruits. That's really exciting. And then we have a super sweet sweetest batch red strawberry that is just out of this world.
Yeah, those are good.
Well, you know, one thing that's interesting about berries is how nutritious they are and how people are finding that out. Of all the fruits, it's probably the best. If you're going to eat only one kind of fruit, berry would be the one that you would choose because of
strawberry
the
or any berry.
Well, you know, blueberries, strawberries,
all of them are very nutritious.
Yeah, and they don't. Like some people are low carb diets, and they can have berries with a low carb diet. You don't have to worry about it.
One of my associates is on a ketone diet. I don't know much about it. You look at me, you can tell I don't know much about it. But he eats a package of strawberries every day on that diet, and he's the pounds are falling off.
Right.
So it's
okay. Now I want to go to blueberries.
Okay.
Because this past winter, sometime, a few months ago, maybe it was even a year ago, lost track of time in this COVID. But I went into a local grocery store and I saw Driscoll blueberries. And those things were so huge. They were the size consistently of a quarter. I took a picture. I'm showing Steve a picture of the blueberry covering a quarter. The size of what every one of them was that size. So now we used to have retail produce markets, and we used to sell blueberries. Mm-hmm. Whenever I saw blueberries this big, I wouldn't buy them because they tend to get mealy.
Right.
These were popping in my mouth. Juice. There was no mealy to them at all.
And really high bricks probably too.
Yeah, they were. They were
and you know, so I think the industry as a whole is up their game.
Yeah.
And we do have some specific varieties that we've done some advanced genetics on.
Yeah.
Again, none of this is, you know, it's all done naturally.
Right.
And cross, there's no any kind of gene splicing or any of that. And that's what makes this such a long run, is particularly on bushberries.
Yeah.
Because you have to plant, and then you have to judge, and then you take the traits of what you judge and you put those together, and you got to wait for another growing season to bear fruit and those kind of things. And so some of the stuff that we've put together now in our blueberry plants and our genetics are incredible. These guys have been working at it for a long time, and we've got we have a version called Sweetest Batch Blueberries. Couple of the varieties.
So that is a variety.
Well, that is a specific variety, but we 2 or 3 other varieties may, depending on the weather, may
that's more of a
perform
brand.
Like
that's
that.
A brand.
Oh,
brand.
That's
okay.
A brand. That's
okay.
Our brand called Sweetest Batch. Yeah. But we choose what varieties go into that based upon flavor and sugar and those kind of things.
So not just any berry could be
a sweetest patch, right?
Okay.
The berry business is exciting, and it's really starting to take off again. And the growth, the category growth, has been incredible. Not just because of inflation, because there are some inflationary dollars in a lot of produce right now, but units of dollars are up. It far exceeds any other subcategory in produce right now. Yeah. It's a good time to be in that business.
There's been a lot of information too about how berries are so good for you, the health benefits. So,
but I mean, like not only for dinner or for breakfast. Desserts, now you see it all the time. If you have a cocktail, then it's like raspberry spicy margarita.
That's right. My kind of nutrition, right?
Yeah,
there.
Yeah. Eat your five a day like that.
Yeah, I had my five a day today.
Yeah,
gin and tonic.
I'll tell you what's really good.
Okay, we're gonna get a recipe.
Blackberry mojitos.
Oh.
They are incredible.
Yeah. Okay, give us the recipe. Come on.
Well, I don't have it.
Well, a mojito usually has mint and club soda and rum.
Yeah.
No, mint.
Well, that's mojitos it,
mint.
Right there. You just mix and serve.
But then put the blueberries, the fresh blueberries in from Driscoll.
Blackberries, he said.
Blackberries. Yeah, blackberries.
Blueberries work also.
Yeah, we actually, I don't know off the top of my head, we partnered with a liquor company and did a promotion.
Oh, really?
And produced recipes for it, and it's yeah. really good. And
would we find that recipe on the Driscoll's website?
You probably could. Okay. I never thought of it. We served it at PMA a couple years ago.
Okay.
Yeah, fantastic.
That's a good point.
I could make you one of my brandy raspberry smoothies sometime.
That sounds good.
How many growing regions does Driscoll have now?
So we've split our company up into different business units. Like for instance, we produce in China.
Oh, really?
We produce in Europe and Morocco and in the UK and North Africa, South Africa. We produce in Canada, all throughout the United States. Probably the majority of the province is in Mexico. Everything is climatized, meaning that we start off with a regular berry, and then we climatize that berry for where we're at.
Yeah.
So that we get a consistent flavor. The flavor becomes consistent, hopefully worldwide.
Right.
But it takes an adjustment. You change the recipe. It may only be fertilizer or whatever that you change, but or it's genetics where our scientists go in and they say, you know, we need to cross that with this other variety to come up with the variety that we need to be successful for the palate in this region.
And so when you produce it internationally, are they sold in those areas?
Yeah. Well, we transfer some stuff up from Mexico during the winter into the U.S.
Sure, but like something in Morocco.
That might go across Europe because that's a production area where so it was hard for me to comprehend. I never got outside of the United States.
I'm right with you. So, you know, give me a geography lesson.
So I got to go to Europe a couple years ago to meet my new boss, who's now come to the United States, and he was running our operation in Europe. And so we went out and did store checks one day. In an afternoon, we were in four different countries. So I was like, and it's open there, you know. Yeah. I mean, you don't have to stop and go get your passport stamped or anything like that, you know. And I said, I'm writing up all my notes. I'm going to come back and show the pictures to my team and everything. I said, so where were we today? Well, we were in Germany in this store, and we were, you know, you're kidding me.
Right.
And I thought I was doing good when I would just do random store checks for you. And I've never been paid one penny by Driscoll or the Strawberry Board, but you know how many strawberry store checks I've done.
But it's, you know what? It's a mental illness.
That's true.
It really is, because we were just talking about this the other day. Like, what do you do on the weekends? Well, if we don't have anything going on, I'm out checking berries in stores, and they're not even my berries. You know, or we go out of town to Cincinnati or Indianapolis or whatever. And
part of the inspiration for this podcast was that we were all talking about how when we go into a grocery store, we are in the produce section, and we rarely ever get out of it.
You know, and so many times, people will, they watch you, are you guys shoplifter? I'm going to shoplift in the produce department? Maybe over where you sell a $7 bottle of contact solution or something, but it's. And I like to do that. Sometimes I take groups, I take growers and whatever, and just for fun.
Yeah.
When you see some manager, store manager, keeping the evil eye on you is watching, and I'll go up and I'll identify myself. I'm with Driscoll's, and we're just checking out your berry section. And you don't have to worry about anything other than the tall guy is a shoplifter.
I made a cake for my husband for his birthday. Yeah. And there you go.
It's beautiful.
That's all you.
She's showing a picture of the cake with Driscoll berries adorning it.
And I did. I have blackberries. I have raspberries. I threw some strawberries on there and some thyme and rosemary, but that's not yours.
Yeah. Yep, but we're cooperating. Remember he said
that's right. See, look at that. Along with pictures of my child, I have pictures of Driscoll berries. That's sad. That is so sad.
She does. She texts me. She goes to the grocery store. She finds something interesting. She's texting me.
Oh, that's
me.
Wow.
Strawberries are better in a tossed salad than tomatoes.
I would agree with you.
You're talking about putting the strawberries in a salad. I've found that if you're trying to avoid the salad dressing, if you'll put fruit in your salad, you won't want the salad dressing. It really flavors it up nicely, so it's a good way to cut calories.
Yeah, my wife discovered it. I was surprised because my wife doesn't like the seeds.
Oh, right. I know people like
that. And so she has an aversion to strawberries and blackberries. But she did start slicing up strawberries, and I don't know, she uses some sort of vinegar and oil and then tosses it all together, and it is quite tasty.
Fresh raspberries, throw them in the blender, put apple cider vinegar in there, because I love vinegar on a salad, and I blend that, and it's just like a creamy fruit vinegar dressing. Some people wouldn't like that, but you could make a recipe. You can take berries and blend them with something that you like and make a very nice dressing.
It does sound good and much, much healthier than the oil, oil-based. But, yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
We'll talk all day into the night. But you probably have other things you want to do. But
I wanted to sit down, so this has been great.
Well, should we do a pun?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
Okay, let me explain to Steve. So, on every podcast episode, we have a segment called Home Grown. Because Teresa loves these puns. So, she always gives us a good veggie pun. But after she tells us the punchline, we all have to groan. So, get ready.
Okay.
We know it's going to be bad. So, just get ready to groan. Don't laugh.
Some are worse than others. She's really going for the rock bottom.
I'm getting pretty bad.
I'm going to introduce it.
Okay.
Standard way.
All
right. So, Produce Buzzers podcast fans, it's time for your favorite segment on the Produce Buzzers podcast. Yes, it's time for Home Grown. Yes, we know you don't like it. You hate it. You got to stick around for it, though, because Teresa has another pun for Home Grown. Teresa, what's that?
Okay. What did one strawberry say to the other strawberry?
What did one strawberry say to the other strawberry? This is another thing. We try to guess it first. Rick sometimes can come up with it. I'm really bad at guessing them.
Once one thing pops in my head, I can't think of another one.
What did one strawberry say to the other strawberry?
Yes, yes, yes.
Ah, got any ideas, Steve?
Not a clue.
All right.
You are very funny.
Was that it?
Cover your white shoulders.
Okay. Now, that would have been good if it was the boy strawberry said to the girl strawberry,
yes.
You are very fine.
You missed the one I said. It.
Yeah.
Steve got it.
What did you say? What did you say?
I said, cover your white shoulders.
Good.
Well, I think these were Driscoll strawberries because one strawberry said to the other strawberry, If you weren't so sweet, we wouldn't be in this jam.
I can never groan because it's, I have to laugh.
That's because your sense of humor is twisted like Teresa's. Okay, back to serious business. Steve, tell our listeners where they can find more information about Driscoll's Berries.
It's www.driscolls.com, and okay, yeah, there's whatever you want to know about berries is there, and whatever right, you want to know about our operations, and yeah, you know, it's, that's the other part about it is full disclosure. There's right, you won't find a skeleton in a closet.
And I encourage our listeners to follow them on the social media, because you get some great ideas, recipes, how to pick and select and use them. Though there's a one of your guys on Instagram that I love to see his posts pop up, because he's like a chef, I think.
Yeah,
I forget his
yeah,
name.
We have a lot of followers that yeah, that are on Instagram, and but we do have a full social media program.
Yeah, it's a good one.
And yeah, and it is, it's really well done, and it talks about, you know, a lot of the issues that are going on today about conservation of soil and water. Right. If you're interested in learning about what we're doing to combat that and child labor and any of those things,
right,
that
and the plastic
you know, we're full force now initiative about how do we reduce plastic.
Right.
The packaging in the very beginning was designed to protect the fruit
right,
to market.
Right.
And then, you know, some of the convenience of it was it enabled them to now attach a label and brand, and also enabled them to attach a barcode for this, the simplicity of pricing and being able to track inventory and those kind of things. And
yeah,
and that's, frankly, that's one of the things that is slowing us down and trying to figure out how to replace it is paper, when it gets in high humidity, tends to be flexible,
right,
and no longer serves a purpose of protection, or ink bleeds, or all these different things, that it's hard to come up to duplicate all of the positive benefits of plastic
right,
completely in another type of package.
Yeah.
You know, the shoes I'm wearing are made from plastic water bottles.
Yeah.
So I think Driscoll's could just have all those clamshells returned to them. They could make Driscoll's shoes.
You know, that's a good idea. Actually, our marketing department might jump on that. We do have a sustainability department that is working arduously with a lot of different programs trying to figure that out. Because, yeah, and again, I'm so proud of the people that I work for, because the owners say, we know this is a problem, and we want to do something about it.
Yeah.
A lot of people, you know, it's like this, you recorded this, but you know, a lot of people have a missions and values, or they do their mission statement and all that, and then yeah, you go in there and the mission statement's hanging on the back of a coat room door and
yeah,
stuff like
yeah,
that.
It's all
one of
show,
the coolest things about the owners at Driscoll's is they walk the talk, man.
Yeah.
We have a mission, we follow it. We have values, we follow it. I remember the first time we were welcomed. There used to be Get to Know Driscoll's for new employees. And the chairman of the board was the president of the company back then. But he came and he spoke to all of the new employees. There's probably 20 of us in the room. And I'd known him for 20 years, I think, at that point. But he got up and he stood in front of the crowd and he said, hey, he goes, you know, here's our mission. I drafted the mission and here's why I drafted it. Makes sense. And here's our values, and the kids helped me draw up the values, and he said, frankly, you know, if you're going to learn the mission and you're going to learn the values, and if you don't, you won't be here very long. And I thought, God, this guy's really hardcore.
Seriously.
But then he came back and said, it didn't come out the way I meant it. You will not be comfortable working here if you don't, because the rest of the people that are here are already living it.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
That was, man, I'm telling you, that was powerful.
Yeah, that's a great example.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Steve, for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. This was a kick.
It was a real pleasure. Keep up the good work at Driscoll's. Those fantastic berries.
Yeah.
Glad you became one of the three amigos.
Yeah.
If you need any store checks in Florida, I cover Florida. Edwin's in
North Carolina for now.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, really Steve. Good to have you. Really appreciate it.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode featuring Steve Treaty of Driscoll's Berries. What is more joyful than eating delicious sweet strawberries, raspberries, blackberries, and blueberries? And they are so good for your health. Be sure to pick up some Driscoll's this week and see how delicious they are. And don't forget to visit their website, driscolls.com. Please take a second before you leave to subscribe and or follow our podcast on whatever podcast platform you are listening on. We are on over 10 different podcast feeds, including YouTube. And if you want to help support this podcast by making a donation, we would be so grateful. Just go to anchor.fm/produce-buzz, and you will see a support button below the podcast description. Click on it. Give what you can. No amount is too small. And, of course, no amount is too large. Thank you, listeners, and good night. Well, thank you, listeners, for tuning in to the Produce Buzzers podcast, brought to you by Produce Buzz, the gathering place for lovers of fresh fruits and veggies. We hope you were entertained a bit and educated a lot about fresh produce. Be sure to join us next time, and please tell your friends to do so as well. Like, share, and comment on our Produce Buzz Facebook page, and check out our website at www.producebuzz.com. There you will find articles about fresh fruits and veggies, how to select, store, and prepare them, as well as lots of interesting facts about all the wonderful bounty the earth provides for us. Until next time, be fruitful, and don't forget to veg out.